Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
There, are we on?
There.
Hey.
We're nearly there.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, Russell. Can you see us?
We did it.
Oh, there we go. Sweet.
I can see you. Hi.
How are you, mate?
Hello.
I'm all right. What's up, guys?
Yeah.
Is he coming in all right?
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah. Looks
glorious,
like
mate.
Nice, man. We did it.
Sorry, man. I think there was a bit of confusion with the link times. I think we done one of them when we changed the time. I don't know what
you
happened.
You stitched Russell up, did you, with a dodgy link?
Fleeced him.
I thought this was one of those prank podcasts.
It is.
Yeah, that's a new podcast. You and then you just film the person sitting there on Zoom like an idiot.
Just staring into space.
Yeah.
For an hour.
Watching that realization slowly come over him like, fuck.
Just dupe.
What was that one that Ashton could, you've been murked or something like that? What was that one back in the...
Murked, yeah. Punked. Yeah.
Punked, that's it.
You know what was funny about that show is that, like, you could tell, like, 90% of the people on there were absolutely furious when they found out. Because it's so annoying, right? Because the punks would get, they got, like, progressively more intense.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I convinced them his mom was dead and he's crying in the hospital. They'd be like, yeah, I'm just kidding, man. It's me, Ashton Kutcher. They'd be like, what?
Coming out in his bootcut, torn jeans, like dodgy 2000s fashion. Did you ever see Beatles About, Russell? Have you ever heard of Beatles About?
Beatles About?
Yeah.
No.
So this is like an 80s, 90s. We will like actually do the podcast in a second, but I was trying to tell my missus about Beatles About the other day. And she was like, what's it like you? What's that about? So I put an episode on. It was just one scene. And it was like punked, but it was like the 80s version of it where there was even less regulation about what you could do on TV.
And fuck all budget.
It was fucking insane. So basically, this bloke, like his pride and joy was his front garden and his new extension. And his neighbour wrote to Jeremy Beadle and said, look, it'd be really funny to mess around with this guy because his pride and joy is his front lawn and his new extension. So the guy comes home and they've dug up his new patio and they're taking out all his double glazing. They've literally removed it from his house and they're deconstructing the front of his house saying that it's against council policy. Yeah. And then they just film him have this guy have a full-on mental breakdown.
And then Jeremy Beadle will then come out, either dressed as a policeman or dressed as some council official and tell him he's just mucking about.
Yeah, yeah.
This is real. I just remember this. I knew these guys back in California and when I started stand up and they were kind of that like prankster kind of vibe. And they did this thing. They pranked their friend and it actually got put on TV. He was always, signing up for those. Like we have this thing in America called Publishers Clearinghouse where you can win £1 million and they show up to your house with a big check.
Yeah.
And they hired an actor to show up with balloons and they made a giant check. And this friend of theirs for 30 minutes thought he'd won $5 million.
Oh, that is fucked
up. And they had the check and everything.
Oh,
and then they were just like, now, I was like, guys, that is next level.
that is, yeah.
guy was like crying. He thought he changed his life.
Yeah, yeah. Only joking. Yeah. You're still street trash.
Yeah, yeah. Never mind. Actually, your mom is dead.
Well, look, there's no point in starting the podcast now. We might as well just carry on because that was so much fun. And welcome to Hardcore Listing. Russell Hicks, how are you, mate?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, look, we had some glitches getting things going, but now we've already exhausted what happens when your friends think it's absolutely hilarious to think that they're going to change your life forever. And then generally some sort of smug, privileged, handsome person like Ashton Kutcher comes out and tells you he's just mucking about. I'd love to see some outtakes where he was hospitalised. Yeah. I really would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, look, Russell, what have you chose for your top five today, mate?
Yep. These are the top five people that you would not want to be stuck on a late night train with. Yeah.
That is an incredible top five.
Yeah, because I don't live in London anymore. So because I do stand up, obviously, late into the night, now I am constantly on this one train that leaves Euston Station. And this thing is insane, man. I mean, like, I'm always on this train, and it's the drunkest people on earth are on this train.
Where are you going to? Where's home outside of London?
Not your postcode. But
yeah, yeah. Let's put that. Yeah, I want to put that out. Not, you know what though? Like anyone would care. I'm at the point where I could say my whole postcode, and it would actually be more upsetting how no one did anything. I wouldn't get a single threat. I wouldn't get no one would follow me. It's Hertfordshire. So I live like what, 30 minutes out.
Yeah.
And the train goes all the way to Northampton. Dude, I mean, listen, I love this country. And I want to preface that because I'm about to completely slag it off. Now, because there are just certain systems that you're like, how is this the way this operates? Euston Station around like midnight is insane. It'll be like full of people. And then what they do is they have no, you stare at the sign and you just wait for the platform, and everyone's just sitting there waiting, and you can feel the tension. And then as soon as the platform comes on, it's a freaking stampede to this train. One time the stampede was so intense that I genuinely went behind a pillar, and you know, like in Jurassic Park, when they just hide behind a tree and all the like dinosaurs go flooding past them. Yep. That actually happened. They just like all flood past me with their McDonald's and and the clothing falling off. And so like this train is like starting to drive me absolutely mental, dude. And there's just, I've just developed like these archetypes of people where I'm like, yep, there's that guy, there's that person. And so I've isolated it down to my absolute top five bellends. That's right.
The thing is, I live the same sort of distance outside of London as yourself in Essex, and I think what happens is when you live in like Hertfordshire or Essex or I guess Kent, and you're on the sort of the outskirts of London, it's so easy to go and have a night in London and then get that last train home. But nobody's ever had a nice experience on them late night trains home.
That's why they're called things like the Vomit Comet.
The Vomit Comet. See, I found that out later. Because I was telling people about this, like I had just, you know, like I had just discovered it. People were like, oh no, that's the Vomit Comet. And the thing is, like, some people are enjoying it, and they're in my top five of people I like to avoid. Because some people look like they couldn't be they're having a great time on that train.
Is this in order, Russell? Is number one like the biggest cunts?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Oh, this was a very cathartic experience.
Yeah, no, good.
I'm looking at this. I'm hoping to get legislation drawn up as a result of this podcast.
So Russell, I used to have to get the train all the time, and my frustrations with just, I've just felt like it was a battle against ignorance. And I started writing The Commuter's Guide to Survival because I was, like you say, these archetypes, because you just, even during the day in just normal public transport, it's just a nightmare everywhere. From the person who won't take their rucksack off, even though it's really busy, so they're just knocking everyone over. They're just, and over time, it's just like they all drive you completely insane. Mm. So the minute you see someone, one person being slightly ignorant, you want to fucking have a mental breakdown. So, yeah. But the vomit comet is like the absolute pinnacle of madness on the trains.
Yeah, because people throw off all, adherence to social. There's no societal norms or laws on that train. And like, I'm not that particular, you know, like last night we were on the train and my girlfriend's like, are any of these people bothering me? I'm like, no. There's a general menace that's missing from this particular environment. But there's something about the late night one where you just feel like at any moment you don't know what's going to happen, you know? But yeah, do you want to hear my first one?
Let's break down these people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and these are going to get progressively, in my opinion, worse. Now, the first one is this is something specific that I've noticed, and I don't know why this is, but so the train will be so packed, right? Because, again, there's no system put in place. Like, they'll have one train out for the night that holds about, 300 people, and they'll use that to transport, 7,000 people, right? And so no one can fit on the train. And what'll happen is everyone smashes onto the train. And for whatever reason, everyone stays congregated at the door area. And I have literally seen people not be able to get on the train and just be left on the platform because no one will move down the freaking aisle and make space. You know, you really get a window into, you know, what people's stance on immigration is based. I have seen people rush to the train, squeeze on, barely get in. Oh, please let me in, please. And then someone comes up behind them and does the same thing. And they're like, fuck it, shut the doors, leave them.
It's so true.
Shut the doors, leave them out. We need stronger borders on this train. Like, okay, great.
But there's so much of that in British culture, of that I'm all right, Jack. And it's like the minute they're on that train, they've achieved their thing that was at the forefront of their mind. I'm on that train. No one else is a consideration.
Well, yeah, they forget it's public transport. It's like they actually suddenly think it's their privilege and their space.
Yeah.
And anyone now trying to get on behind them, they were in that circumstance 2 seconds ago, but now they're on, they're not letting them on. I've never seen anyone, and I think part of it as well is that there is an element of some people are scared that when it comes to their stop, they won't be able to get off the train. Because they'll be like sardined somewhere, pushed to the middle of the carriage. I've never seen anyone in like 20, 30 years of train travel not be able to get off the train at their stop. It's like, yeah, people will move. Mm. So that fear, yeah. It's just not a thing. It's just not a thing.
That is true. I think the fear is, that you're going to be down in the aisle and you're going to have to like get all these people to move, which... Now that I think about it, I can see the fear because the people on this train are catatonic and they won't even know you're trying to get past them. But yeah, man, there will be so much room down the aisles and everyone is just like huddled together at the door, like sandwiched in. And if you try to get them to move down at all, they look at you like you're absolutely insane.
Do you reckon this is essentially London? Because I think when you get out into other areas, people are generally
a bit more chill,
a little bit more, and
very different situation. Yeah, very different situation. Once you get up a little bit more north, they're all a lot nicer. They'll reach out, they'll help you up. But that's London, you know. Like I was talking about that on stage. Like I don't know what it is. This is all big cities. It's like the more progressive and sort of open-minded the ideals of a city are, the more they treat people like absolute shit.
Yeah.
It's like everyone on that train who's booting somebody out of it is probably also a huge advocate of, you know, human rights.
Yeah. They're all vegan. Yeah.
And just like, yeah. But yeah, but I've also noticed when you go up north, man, I feel like the announcements on the train are strict. Like if you get caught, not having a ticket up north. It is brutal, man. It's brutal. They're like, I think it's like an Avanti West Coast or something. It was just like,
what's the
the announcement was like £300 if you get caught with no ticket or something like that.
Jeez.
I generally find people just get nicer the further up north.
I think also the less busier places. I think, like, you know, in London, everyone's got that speed sickness, right? Everyone's trying to be somewhere. Everyone's trying to rush home from work. I don't know. Like, just there's a bit more space. Everyone seems to be a bit more like, oh, okay.
I don't know. I mean, outside of the rush hour.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Generally find that I'm generally surrounded by unfriendly people.
You live in Greys.
Well, I mean, that's worse.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think all people in London are necessarily... Yeah, like, you know, you do notice when you go up north, though, they are more friendly. They just are, you know? But, like, in general, I don't know. London people, they just feel this... They are in a rush. But I so rarely am I like, where's everyone going? I don't know. I can't really... Where's everyone... Got to be in such a hurry. I never get the vibe they're going anywhere like really important, but they're like, I got to get there now.
Yeah.
Well, you grew up in California, Russell? Where are you from?
So that's probably what it is. Yeah, I grew up in California and nobody moves fast in California at all. Like there's a law in California called the right of way law. And it basically means you, the pedestrian, have the right of way. So if you decide, it's like, and I didn't realize this until I left the state, how weird this is, but if you just walk into the middle of the street, that's you have the right.
You're the king.
You're the king. Road, yeah. So the cars have to stop. So if anyone hits you and you just walk in the middle of the road, that's their fault. So I don't look, I never look both ways. I just walk and just sort of glide around. But when you get to places like New York or London, you know, like black cab drivers see it almost as sport.
yeah, it's a challenge.
So they'd love nothing more than to just
stick you over the bonnet. Yeah.
So I had to figure that out. Yeah.
What's at number four, man. Russ?
Okay, number four. Now this is kind of a combo because I thought, well, this is an advancement on. Well, actually, I'm going to bump number three to four. All right. So this is number three. Now this one's a little more specific. So my girlfriend this was relayed to me secondhand because sometimes she takes the train without me and she'll tell me her experience. We like to, we often trade war stories. Yeah. Like you won't believe what I saw tonight. Yeah. Like she had a good one the other night. A girl was walking down the aisle with a tit out.
What the fuck?
And she... she went to tell the, she tried to tell the girl, like, your tit is out. And then it became apparent that this girl knew it was out. And she didn't care. She was proud of it.
Wow. And, was that on the Vomit Comet or was that like midday?
Oh, yeah. No, of course. No, this was the 6 a.m. commuter. 6 a.m. work train. She was very put together. She had her laptop. She was doing work. And just one tit out.
Left tit hanging out.
I mean, that's... So she seemed offended at the fact that your partner was like your tits out
or just proud?
Oh yeah. She was just like, I mean, first of all, to hear my girlfriend tell it, there was really no communicating. She was just like, all right, like she'll figure it out. But yeah, she seemed pretty, you know, sure about it. But that's not even it. I mean, it's not the worst thing that could happen on the train. So, she was on the train and. This another situation where it's absolutely rammed. No one could get a seat. People were standing on the tables and sitting on the tables. And there was this one table where this girl had blocked out all the seats. So she's sitting at a booth, you know, with four seats. She's blocked out all the seats, put her bags on all the little seats, right? And when people would come up, she'd be like, I'm sorry, I need this space. I'm sorry, I need this space. And people were like, okay, your friends are in the toilet. And then it turns out that this girl had been out dancing all night and she had pulled a muscle in her leg and she has a sore leg. And so she needed this space so that she could do four her seats. Yoga stretches.
No way.
This is on a packed train. So she had the audacity to then do her yogic. She was doing like Pilates stretches and telling a packed train of people like, no, I need this space. So specifically that girl.
I mean, I've never heard.
Not her type.
Yeah, not her type.
Yeah. I mean, this specific person, wherever she is, I don't want to be on a train with her because I'm just like, eventually my girlfriend said someone, this like hero of a woman came on and was just heard her full story and was like, no, and just started grabbing her bags and chucking them. Well, and the whole train was like, yeah.
I've got to agree with that person. Like, that's just insane. What insane entitlement. And you're right. That's not an archetype, that, Russ. That is just one absolute fucking mental person.
What's your stance on when you find yourself embroiled in these situations on these carriages? Are you... Since you've been in the UK, have you adopted that very British thing of kind of looking disapprovingly, sort of tutting and kind of meeting somebody else's sort of gaze and just kind of showing your disgust to them but not actually actioning anything? What's your stance on these situations?
Yeah. I've learned to pick my battles.
Yeah.
Because if I met every grievance head on... It just because sometimes it gets to be like too much, you know, like it's like, yeah, I do. I've become a little bit British in the sense that it's incredible the things I'll allow to happen, you know, and then just look around at everybody like, oh, can you believe this? And then nobody does anything. But yeah, I mean, it depends, man. It depends on the level. Like I've got some people further down the line. I usually do tell them, you know, tell them off a little bit. All right, I'll just go into the next one. So when people, I gave this one up. This fight, I've ceded territory to these people. But it's not that they annoy me so much as I'm actually fascinated to understand why people watch videos on their phone with no headphones. Turned the volume is up to the point that we can all hear it. And I don't understand how it's less now that it annoys me that I actually genuinely sometimes want to ask them and interview them. And I have done it. I asked someone, I said, what can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I said, you know, headphones and you got it loud. What is that? Did you lose your headphones? is it, do you want us to hear it? I don't get it. Cause I just don't understand how they can sit there oblivious and just blasting it for everybody on the train. It's never anything interesting. It's never like a documentary that like, you know, is informative or anything. Oh, it's always like they're watching a terrible music video.
Yeah.
They'll be looking at it. They'll be watching something. And I'm trying to figure out, what are they watching that has actual visuals to this? It'll just be like, what are you looking at?
I just say it's even worse if I find myself on the quiet zone of a train and I specifically go to the quiet zone because I'm elderly, and then some cunt will then have normally a big phone and which seems to have quite a powerful speaker in it. Yeah. And will then blast something out of there with absolutely no consideration for anyone else. Yeah. I could quite happily probably beat him to death with that phone.
I've spoken to loads of people about this, and there are occasions where people are like deathly sorry, and like especially on the silent area, and they're like, I've forgotten myself for a second, and they're really cool about it. They are the absolute minority. Because most people, I think, like from when I've spoken to people and I've asked them, they're kind of like, because I want to. What? Because I want to. Like, but that's not like, you're on public transport, dude. You're not at home. And I think some people, I do honestly think that it's a little bit, there's another type of person that you might talk about, and I'm not gonna call them out just yet. But I think some people, it's a bit like when people, and I've sometimes done this in a car, I'm really liking a song and the window's down a bit and people can hear it and I think, I'm really enjoying this song. It's probably a cool song, isn't it? And then I catch myself going, no one gives a shit about what music I'm listening to. And I think sometimes on the train, they're kind of like, oh, look at me, aren't I cool? Look what I'm listening to or watching. And it's like, no, you're not cool. You're fucking really annoying.
You know what? I bet sometimes you're right. I bet you, see, this is the thing I'm trying to learn as well, is to assume that not everyone is doing it on purpose to annoy me specifically. Yeah. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and admit this now, and this is blasphemy. I can't believe I have caught myself doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's why I've laid down my sword, is because there have been times where I did forget my headphones, and then I caught myself and went, oh my God. Look who you've become. You are watching this video. You're what? It's always some how-to video on YouTube. And you're doing it. And then there have been occasions. I know the people, they pull out a speaker and they have like a party on the... Once in a while, I'm like, all right, I'm in. But man, I tell you, I don't know. Like last night, this dude was just sitting next to us watching these... over and over these TikTok videos about why you shouldn't eat sugar. Just blasting it. Just freaking blasting it, man, for everybody. Sometimes when you're on a plane, they give you free headphones. Mm. And I was carrying them around for a while. And I thought this will be great. I was waiting for an opportunity just to go, bang, here you go. My little, what an ultimate passive aggressive. What a dweeb I am. There you go.
Yeah.
But I was going to drop him some British Airways wired headphones.
The only time I made a phone call in the quiet zone once.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to someone and obviously opposite another two people. And I was about 10 seconds into my phone call. I was whispering because I had to make this call and I should have waited. There was an elderly guy opposite me who rolled up his newspaper, tapped it on the top of my head, and then pointed with the newspaper to the quiet zone thing. And I was just like, fair play, bro. Fair play. Like,
you know what? That's extending into like causing even more problems for himself, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you are wrong. I've been caught like almost the same thing. Mm. And I answered it, but I didn't know I was in the quiet zone. And I answered it because it was important. And then someone said, you know, you're in the quiet zone. And I was like, oh, shit. Mm. But if someone had hit me over the head with a newspaper, it's like, at what level, you know, where do you go from handing them a set of British Airways earphones to assaulting them? Where's the right way of dealing with it, you know?
I learned a lesson.
Yeah.
He was really. Was he old?
Yeah, oh yeah, really old, yeah.
More exceptions.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great because I feel like that's going to be the best part about being really old.
Yeah.
Because imagine the kind of things you can get away with. Absolutely. No one's going to, he's old.
Yeah.
He's just, that guy is using it. He's using his, that's elderly privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
The thing, man. There's a lot of ageism. We don't let old people do anything else. So the guys like him are like, you know what? I can get away with all, you can whack someone with a newspaper.
Yeah.
When you're
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, actually.
I literally just had to take
there's
it.
There's an extension, Russell, to these people who, even if, right, if they're more thoughtful, so they've got earphones in and they're watching something. Have you ever, like, so I love horror, right? I like watching violent shit. But I've sometimes been on the train and someone's openly watching something quite, like, visually arresting. And I just think, are they cool with watching it next to me because they think I don't look like I'm going to be bothered? Or is that just their policies? They're catching up on something and they don't care?
If they're wearing headphones, I don't care. They can watch hardcore pornography.
I prefer it.
as long as they have headphones in. Whatever you want. As long as you have headphones, I'm fine. I'm not asking for much. But I remember when Game of Thrones was big.
Yeah.
Dude, you saw that all the time.
Yeah,
remember?
Absolutely.
You'd be sitting on the train.
Yeah.
I'd be standing on the train. I'd be looking down and everyone is just watching elves fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, or like someone getting their head cut caved in with someone's bare hands. And you're like,
and it was,
wow. I mean, that's really cool. But like, if there's someone else watching it, they might be like,
just,
I don't really
just eating an M&S egg crest sandwich in their little estate agent suit, watching the most horrifying images.
That is such an accurate description of a computer.
The watercress and egg, yeah, man. Dude, one time I was thinking about how you got whacked on the head. That happened to me once. I was like, this is like early when I just moved here. I don't even know if I was in the quiet care. This is what, but things like that will just stay in your brain.
Yeah,
isn't it funny when something happens, you're like, oh, that's in there now.
Forever.
I'm never going to forget the time that guy whacked me on the head. Mm. Yeah, some big bald geezer, like right out of a Guy Ritchie film. I was just on the phone, and he just got right in my face, and he's like, "For your safety and protection, put that phone away now." And then he just walked in. I was like, "Oh, okay, for my safety and protection." But dude, I just remember being like, "Does this guy work for the train? Like, what?" But then it was annoying because like you have something like that happen, and you're like, dude, that's out of line, right? Like he just got really aggressive. And so I said to the guy in front of me, I go, hey man, you believe that? This fucking dude in front of me goes, you were being pretty loud, man.
You had to just swallow it.
And then I got mad at him. I was like, oh, okay. So we're all just on board with that. Great. I remember you learn train etiquette though, because when I first moved here, I didn't know that when you buy it. Okay, so I bought a ticket to a train and I didn't know that like if the train is empty, you can sit wherever. And I'll never forget this, man. This is like 100% empty train, but I had bought a ticket and it had a seat number and everything. And on this fully empty train, I go into a carriage where there's one man and I walked down the aisle and I just sat right next to him. And this dude, to his credit, didn't miss a beat. He just turned to me and he went, really?
Oh,
that was how I learned that lesson.
That's great.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I used to have to get on the DLR a lot in the mornings, and man, the DLR is like, have you seen those sort of like the videos of in Japan when they've got basically, they pay people to push people into the trains to pack them in like sardines? The DLR was just crazy. It was like that every morning. It was like crazy busy. Like you were completely in everyone else's personal space. And it was a bit like, you're talking about train etiquette there, Russell. It was like everyone knew that that's how it was. And you would try and respect people's space as much as you could, but everyone was going to be like a couple of inches away from people's faces. And one time I just got on and it was basically packed. There was really no other room, but there was people behind me on the platform, and one of them just forced on, pushed me further into the train. And I was literally up against another commuter, and we weren't even looking at each other, but I could feel, I was pushed on. I was saying to everyone, sorry. And the guy was like, can you get off? Cause there's no room. Despite me like apologizing, saying it's not me, I've been pushed into everyone. One of the commuters, she was just punching me in the stomach. She was just they weren't painful punches because like she had like about, cause it was so packed. She probably had about 4 inches to move her, but she was honestly repeatedly, when I started recognizing that's what she was doing, I finally managed to meet eyes with her. And we matched eyes, and she was still punching me in the stomach like that. And I was like, man, I'm really sorry. Like, I couldn't help it. You can see the guy behind me. And that's when she stopped. But I had to meet her eyes before she stopped and realised that she was being, you know, quite crazy. It's but yeah, I know, horrific. It was mad, man. Like, and I do feel sorry for her. Like, I did get pushed into her, but to start just punching me in the stomach.
Dude, I know, man. I was on a plane recently, and this old lady behind me, like I had like moved my seat back, and that was her solution. She just grabbed my seat and started like slamming me like that. And I turn around and I go, what? And she's like, well, you're in my space. And I was like, yeah, lead with that. Like start with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You went straight to just like freaking heavy bag bash in my seat. It was astounding. It was amazing, man. Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. The whole situation. It's like, I love that she was just punching you.
I love the fact that we met gays, and like that was when we our eyes met, and she was still punching me, and I was like, can you stop punching me? Yeah.
There's moments like that, man. I sometimes love it because I just have respect. I'm like, wow.
You're different.
Right. Yeah. All right. Now, yeah. So that was people with no headphones.
Where are we at now? Was that three? What are we on? How many have we had? Three or two?
We've had three.
Okay.
Number two.
Well, so this one was going to be four, but I moved it. Right. I think because it's kind of a variation of the people who stand in the doorway. Mm. But I do believe these people deserve to have their own platform. Yeah. Now, there are a certain type of teenage kid, usually 18 or so, and also I find gothic. They're always gothic kids who sit and lay on the floor in that area.
Yeah.
And they're always like mopey, and they're just having this like Like they've all just like sort of like they've all just passed out on the, and they're all laid around like they're in their living room. And the thing that annoys me the most is they don't get up.
Yeah, you just step over them.
These fucking kids, you get there, you push the button, the door opens, and you have to maneuver and step around these little Nightmare Before Christmas wearing. Like, I don't know why I think they're, in my brain, they're always gothic kids, you know, with the big buckled boots.
Striped tights. Why am I saying?
Yeah, the big buckled boots and the fishnets. Step right over their face. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is such an accurate. You've just been there. Yeah, you've been in the trenches,
their little backpacks,
man.
And their lunch pails.
Yeah. Yeah.
occasionally, they'll sit up and vape.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, they are. They do. They gather around and they're straight away like, you know, you're young. You should be able to stand up for this train journey. You're already in like relax mode. Mm.
It's the not moving. Because sometimes there will be, because I find that when they do that, it's not a packed train. Mostly, that's what drives me crazy. There's like seats everywhere.
Yeah.
But because they're gothic and their whole, I don't know, they're always punishing themselves. So they just have to like, everything they do has to be the saddest choice you could have made.
This is where I belong, man.
Yeah. So they're like just laying. They just lay across the floor.
Society's walking over me.
I didn't know there was still gothic people, you know? I thought that was gone in the 90s.
But. That is that is their last resting place.
Mm, mm.
I'm
always stunned when you go, you know, you go to Camden and you still see them stores that sell them huge buckled boots that have got, you know, heels like this big. And it's like, how many people like... You never need a second pair of them, do you? Like, once you've got you, they're there for life.
They're going
to
get you through.
They're going to get you through your teen angst.
That's right.
Like, so who then, is it just more, because I don't see them generations constantly coming through. Like, people still wear them fucking Matrix jackets. Like, seriously, man. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the look. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah, the Matrix trench coat. And then like a cowboy hat and a goatee.
It's a strong look. You must get them still. Do you still get them in the brush?
They'll still come to my club, of course, yeah. We're an alternative club. But, yeah, do you know what pains me, right?
I don't, yeah, what?
Do you think, because I don't think I could, do you think you could pull off that look?
I'm blonde. I'm like the anti, I'm like there. See, me and the goths, I feel like we never quite got along because I feel like just on sight, I'm sort of there. I'm too bright.
Yeah.
Absolutely judge a book by its cover.
I was like, but I was always trying to tell him, like, you know, you have no idea. I'm a comedian, man. I'm more gothic. You should take a look inside.
He's black.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't mind like old goths, you know, like the older one. Like it's funny. Sometimes you see like someone who's still doing it.
Mm.
You're like, wow, all right.
I saw The Cure about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe just before the pandemic. I saw The Cure in Hyde Park on arguably the hottest day of the year. Mate, sunshine.
Everyone's makeup is melting.
Elderly goths does not work. It just looked like a load of like melted candles everywhere. It was not a good look.
Everyone's makeup is coming off. Everyone looks like Heath Ledger from The Joker, just like smeared, falling down.
Oh, incredible. Right. We're at the top spot.
It's
about the top spot, aren't
we? We're at the top spot.
Well, so you kind of alluded to this one. This is my all time. And I'm sorry, I think I was at the forefront of this fight. I was talking about this before anyone was talking about this. People who vape on trains. Man, I was blowing the horn on this thing before anybody noticed. I've noticed now. There's a word, they call them vapists.
Vapists? I love the fact that he's been aligned to.
So I had a joke I was trying to do on stage where I thought it was too dark. I was like, I was going to say vape sounds like rape because it's like you're in our atmosphere and you're doing. I was like, ah, that's a bit dark. But now I've heard that's a thing. Someone who vapes excessively and does it with no regard to other people's personal space is called a vapist. And
fair to be aligned, you know, that's quite an awful word to be aligned with. But, you know, doing that just next to someone on a train.
Absolutely.
Have we lost Russell?
I think we have.
Russell.
Recording in progress.
Whoops. Sorry about that.
Was that you or was that us? We're not sure.
Oh, yeah, it was you.
Oh, right.
Oh, shit.
It was me. My computer died.
You thought the subject of vapes had got too much for you, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I got too fired up, man. There's a vape shop just up. I sound like such a posh. That's the thing. You got to be. So I moved into this area and I didn't know it was posh, right? And it's starting to infect me a little bit, you know? I'm becoming a posh twat a little bit.
Rubbing off on you.
What's making that happen? Give us some examples.
I don't know. Like this vape shop opened up and I just caught myself going, oh, ghastly. What kind of ruffians will this attract? I don't know. So yeah. Yeah, man. This vaping thing. Yeah. There was an article yesterday and the headline was, vaping may cause cancer. As if that was news.
That's crazy. Why is that?
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Smoking this artificial juice would be bad for your lungs?
People move to it so quickly as well. Like people were just like, as soon as it came out, you see, I mean, it's been around a while now, right? 10 years. But people were just like, oh, right, this one's not going to fuck you up like cancer. And I was like, well, how do they know? And like, it's not like they cared with the tobacco industry. You think we'd learned the lesson. Oh, they'll say anything to sell. Like they used to say like smoking was good for you. Like the doctor advises it. Like how can you believe that this isn't going to be shit for you? Maybe give it a bit.
Now, I remember like when it first came out, people would talk about it as if it was like, if it was good for you.
It's one of your five like, a day.
No, it's fruit. Yeah.
Oh, this is blueberry razzle.
And yeah, dude, I feel like the tobacco industry, yeah, it's just like they're basically, I think it's because it smells good. If it smelled bad, I think people would be a little bit more, you know, apt to think it wasn't good. But that's all you have to do, man. You got to hand it to the tobacco industry, man. They really,
well,
these guys. They're like the Terminator, man. They just keep coming. But again, I don't care. This is not my issue. You do bad things and kill yourself all day long. It's when you blow it in my area. You know what I mean?
How do they? It's the same people, though, Russell. It's the same sort of mentality of like this ignorance of, yeah, well, I mean, I want to do it, but I want to do it. And this is, they give weird excuses as if like they, like it's important that they vape right then and there on the train. And it's just a weird excuse to just be in someone's face with, not only have I got to deal with what you probably look like and you're playing shit music through your earphones. So yeah. I can't even hear the bass. I can just, or sometimes it's so loud, I can hear the bass on the earphone, which is just fucking confusing.
That's what used to drive me crazy is I would say, so I used to like constantly go, excuse me. Can you not vape? And then it was like, now I would say 9 times out of 10, genuinely like 90% of the time, they would go, oh, is this bothering you? And they were serious. They were like, and I was like, yeah. Like that was what annoyed me the most is that like, you don't think that's annoying? And now I'm starting to notice it's happening at comedy clubs a lot. Like, dude, this is amazing. Two nights ago, this was like, I can't believe the crowd went with it. But two nights ago, I was on stage and this kid, he vaped in the front row, big old smoke. Like he's watching me and he's just, and I was like, all right. I was like, hey, listen, man, you know, that's annoying, you know? And I told him all about how he's a vapist and There's a reason why it's called that. I had to let him know, right? And I was like, just, you know, don't do it again. It's annoying. All right, got some laughs. Great. And then he thought, oh, wouldn't this be funny? So he was a right little shit, right? He did it again. And I was like, hey, listen, okay? If you do that again, I am going to take the vape out of your hands and I'm going to smash it against the wall. And now the crowd is, you know, crowd's a little bit like...
tightened up a bit.
Are we all okay? I'm starting to think this guy's working through some personal issues here. And then I was talking to someone else later in the night and I turned, and right as I turned, I saw this huge Nimbus cloud appear. And I was like, he did it again. I reached down and I pulled it out of his hand and I launched it across the room and it smashed against the wall. And as it was flying through the air, I thought, oh, I think I've maybe crossed the line here. But he was so annoying and the audience was so annoyed with it that when it smashed against the wall, everyone went crazy. And it was one of the most exhilarating moments I've ever had in my life. I thought, because I have had fantasies of doing
that's
that.
It, yeah.
But they're ludicrous fantasies. Yeah, and I'm like, I would never. And here I was living my dream.
Yeah, yeah. You are a hero for that, man. You are literally Braveheart for doing that.
For no reason. The thing that it came out of me was I just leaned back and I shouted, if you smell what the rock is cooking. I don't know why that came out. It was just attitude era. Dwayne the Rock Johnson came out of me in that moment. It was absolutely incredible. To that guy's credit, he just sort of, you know what though, man? And this was amazing. He looked at me and he's like, oh, all right. And then he pulled out, he had nicotine gum. And I was like, kid, you've got an issue, dude. He's like, I can't.
He could have started with the gum before he went to the vape. It's a bit like the woman on the chair behind you. She just went, straight to the worst option, which is just vape out front.
If he was
that desperate. You did what we all fantasize about, though. Like, because I think that's what, when I started writing these archetypes of people on the train, it was because, like, I'd have these fantasies. Like, when I wrote this, it was back when, like, people won't be able to understand this, but headphones used to have wires. But I'd have fantasies of, like, just cutting the wires. Just being like, they've got their eyes closed and they're like listening to like techno and it's like 8 a.m. And I would just go snip. Or just like grabbing, like, remember Blackberries, and they'd have that annoying tapping noise when people would type. And I just have fantasies of just getting the phone and just throwing it down the aisle. I've never done any of those things.
Why?
Because it's just annoying the shit out of me.
Here, I gotta say, there's someone's just minding their own business listening to music.
Oh, dude, when
that's a weird impulse to be just want to stop that joy.
Dude, like, it's like, people can do what they want within reason, but when it's so, like, it's not that someone sat there quietly, it's when it's so invasively loud that
you can hear it through the headphones?
Oh, you can hear it through the headphones, man. Yeah, like, it was a regular, I wasn't just doing it because someone sat there with earphones. I'm not like completely.
That's what I thought.
No way.
Were just like, look at this guy.
Oh, shit.
Look at this smug guy.
No way. Like, it would be because it was so loud and it was like, it just spreads across that part of the cabbage and you can hear, but it's super loud.
I think the solution to all these problems actually is staring us right in the face. You roll up a newspaper and you just lightly whack them on the head.
Like I say, I learned a lesson.
This man's a genius.
Never done it again.
Because they'll be so stunned. That's what you do. You roll up. What kind of newspaper was it? That's what I want to know. Then we'll have a...
It was a broadsheet. He didn't have to lean across far.
Right.
Well,
gave you a nice whack.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't super aggressive, but it was definitely like assertive enough to make his point.
Like a bad dog.
Yeah, exactly that. Have you got any other honorable mentions?
Well, I just have general, like, you mean people that I want to avoid?
Yeah.
Well, just general drunk people who try to speak to you.
I don't like the when you get the sort of collective, like post sort of hen party that are going home and they've got that mindset of, I'll speak my mind. and like it or lump it, and like, and that seems to mean that that's fine for them shout bollocks all the way home on the train. And feel that everybody's interested in their day and what's going on in their personal life. I really struggle with that.
There's one thing about like answering a call, or maybe you've got to make a phone call. I get that. Right, we've all got lives. I'm not completely... But it's like when I used to get a train, I'd be on the train for like an hour and there'd be one person just trying to make as many like pedestrian, like unessential phone calls to their friends, and then they'd be spreading gossip. Or like one of them would be ordering some weed and they think they'd be really clever, like they're ordering it covertly. And it's like everyone knows
you don't mind a guy ordering weed loudly. Like if it's that's funny to me, like, you know. But I don't mind drunk hens. That I don't mind. I feel like, whatever. They're having a good time. Mm. They're cutting loose. Go for it. Go for it, Barbara. but it's the drunk, a big, huge group of drunk dudes. Yeah. You're like, where's this going to go?
Yeah.
Where's this going to go? This could get menacing.
Yeah.
Hens, not so much, man.
Yeah.
Hens, not so much. Well, they're fun, you know? I like a show. I like a comedy show full of drunk hen parties can be fun.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know. It's kind of up for anything.
Well, look, I mean? We're talking about people jumping on trains. So I'm going to do a tenuous link now.
Wait, real quick. Sorry. That's something that annoys me. Who are these people that are walking in the tracks? What's with this? They go, sorry. This train is delayed because there's been a trespasser on the track. What is this? I always imagine, is it like a guy, like a stick and bindle? Like an old...
Yeah, a little rope. You know
Who are Moving you? And why does it take an hour and a half? Get them off the track.
Every time I hear that and there's someone on the track, I think River Phoenix, Corey Feldman singing Lollipop. I think Stand By Me straight away.
That's what I
looking for a body.
Totally. I'm like, we got the Stand By Me kids going on a spiritual journey, a rite of passage. Like, get them off the track. I don't know why it always takes like an hour and a half. It's easy. Get off.
what are you up to? I mean, we've been speaking about all your gripes, and obviously these train journeys generally, I presume, are involving you going to and from gigs. What's happening with Russell Hicks and comedy in the coming months?
Oh, okay, yeah. Tour promotion. I like it, man. Yeah. I'm going on tour in October. And I'm fine. Yeah, it's great. I've been here for a long time and I'm finally going to go on tour. And I'm just like really excited because I've been all over the country a million times, but now I get to do my own show, which is really exciting. So yeah, it starts in October. I'm going everywhere. It's like 36 dates. And yeah, I'm really excited about it, man.
What's the tour called?
It's called Happy to Be Here, which, you know, obviously I am. Nah, man. Yeah, it's called Happy to Be Here. And yeah, it's cool. I've been like starting to promote it now. And I'm starting to realize, like, I don't think people think like October is like so far away. To me as a comedian, you're like, it's like right around the corner. But I don't know if it's like the state of the world these days, but people are like, October, man. There might not be a tomorrow. What are you talking about?
Are you doing the Fringe this year?
I'm not doing the Fringe this year, but I might go next year. I haven't been to the Fringe in a while. I kind of like, I feel like time for a comedian just passes differently. I'll be like, oh, I haven't been to the Fringe in a year. And I'm like, oh, I haven't been to the Fringe in like 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's so weird, man. I'll be like, oh, I saw that guy a week ago. And I'm like, oh, it was 7 years ago. I ran into like Dane Baptiste and I was like, oh, what do you, or I know I ran into someone who had a baby. I go, how's the baby? And he goes, 5. I was like, we should, and then you throw in like we should get coffee, keep in touch. Yeah, man. So I don't know, but I'm excited about the tour, man. I'm totally excited about it. You know, it gives you like something to just do your own shows. It's like, it's amazing, dude.
What's the premise, dude, of Happy to Be Here?
So for me, it's like I just wanted to call it something that would give me freedom to do whatever I want because I improvise so much on stage. And I think the biggest thing for me is always like, man, always trying to figure out, like, I think in this country, this is what I think in America, I think you name the special or the hour after you have it.
Gotcha.
So you kind of like build it and then you're like, what's this about? Whereas here you have to kind of name it,
right,
and then stick to that. And so I get into this situation all the time where I've tried to do that. I'll name the show something. And then by the time it comes around to do it, I'm like, this isn't about that at all. It's just what I would like. I was in a moment of like, yeah, I'm going to do a show about this. And then you get there and you don't do it. So I think because I sometimes talk about living here, being on trains, being American in Britain. So like happy to be here. Felt like, all right, I'll probably stick to that.
Nice. And like you say, you can play around with it and you can switch in and out its meaning and, you know.
But it just works. It's like, happy to be here. Yeah, here I am. You know, nice. And it's kind of a joke on the poster too, because the photo that we used, I look annoyed. So I was like, all right, cool, man.
And if people want to get tickets and find out if you're going to a place near them, where's the best place to keep up to speed with what you're up to, mate?
Yeah. If you go to the website, russellhicks.co.uk, and you click on tour, it's all there. Also, my Instagram is a good place if you want to see me do stand up. And actually, I've filmed that thing where I think I'm going to put that out with the smashing that guy's face. So that, look for that as well. Yeah. So if you go on my Instagram, it's at Russell Hicks, two S's on the end. And that's a good spot to see me doing my thing. And yeah, man, hopefully the tour is going to be good. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, you never know. I might get a bunch of people who, I feel like once I let people into what annoys me,
you can have
my audience also, because yeah, people tend to tell me I'm funnier when I'm angry, which is like kind of annoying to me because I'm like, yeah, but I am angry. So sometimes I'm probably going to get a bunch of people. I'm going to come on stage with a bunch of gothic people laying on the stage, just blowing smoke because they think it's hilarious.
Russell, we'll take you in this on the socials. So if people aren't following you on Instagram already, then our listeners can go and give you a follow and check out tour dates and such. Russ, thanks so much for coming on today, man. It's been an absolute
pleasure.
Thank
you guys. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Have a great day, mate.
See you guys.
Bye-bye. Cheers, dude.
All right.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.